May Jesus bless you with his peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, celebrating the Holy Thursday of the Lord's Supper on this 24th day of March 2016, liturgical cycle year C, 6 o'clock in the evening or 1800 hours. And the first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8 and 11 to 14, Psalm 116. The first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, and the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Heavenly Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during the supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, Jesus rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you will not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For Jesus knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on, he reclined at table again. He said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. There are many ways that Jesus could have expressed his love for his apostles. But he chose this particular way of washing their feet to show that he was not afraid of them and that he was very secure, as John points out here, who he is. That he had come from the Father, and he was going back to God the Father. When we are secure in ourselves, we don't go looking for, what shall I say, opportunities to lord over others, as we heard in the reading of the Passion this past Sunday. It cannot be that way, Jesus says to his apostles. You can't be fighting for first place. If you want to be important, be the last, be the servant. Again, it's this great confidence that Jesus has in himself. Even as we will hear tomorrow, how he is mocked, cursed, spat upon, tortured, humiliated, and crucified. He never loses his sense of security, of confidence. I mention this because if Jesus has given us a model in himself, it is for us then to grow in this confidence in God. During supper, Jesus was fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. On this Holy Thursday, we hear much about the mandatum, or the command of Christ, to wash one another's feet. But I really think that needs to be a minor theme in comparison to the other two themes that are very evident also. And that is the theme of sacrifice. Sacrifice from the Latin means to make holy, to set apart and dedicate it to God. Jesus then makes of himself a sacrifice pleasing to the Heavenly Father, someone set apart. The other is what we see is the great gift that he leaves his apostles, as St. Paul describes for us in the second reading. The Holy Eucharist, the very presence of Jesus given to us until the end of the world, in the consecrated bread and the consecrated wine. Powerful gifts, and as we hear in the prayers, gifts that are not only new each time, but are eternal, everlasting. Though we will have something of a ceremony of washing feet this evening, I would have you think about what it would mean if you were God, if you were Jesus, and you would so humble yourself, not only to death on the cross, but that each time the Eucharist is celebrated, that you humble yourself and make yourself present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in what was bread but is now your body and blood. Or in the chalice of wine that can be spilled, but to see the humility of Jesus in every Mass that we celebrate, that he humbles himself over and over again by taking on the form of wine and changing it into his very blood. You can't have blood without a body, so we say also the body, blood, soul, and divinity, both in the consecrated bread and in the consecrated wine. This humility of God exalts us. This humility of God surprises us and teaches us every time that we celebrate Mass, the Holy Eucharist, of just how great God is. The one who can humble himself even to death on the cross. The one who can humble himself even to the point of kneeling down and washing the feet of his disciples. The one who is willing to be held in secret is the one who is most powerful and therefore so great. I feel sorry for so many throughout church history who have thrown out the sacrifice of the Mass as part of their daily liturgy. I feel sorry for those Catholics, for whatever reason, have left the practice of the Catholic faith, hoping to find more fellowship, more something outside the Catholic Church. And why do I feel sorry for them? Because they are not receiving the gift that Jesus offers to them as he offers it to us. They are not receiving the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus himself. How could anyone stay away from Holy Communion knowing what it is or who he is? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Take and eat my flesh, drink my blood, and you will live forever. When we make Holy Communion, we go back to our places not to be distracted by worldly thoughts, but as the documents of the liturgy point out, to make a very special and secret moment between us and Jesus. That I talk to Jesus, who is now in me. I become a living tabernacle, and I hold in my very being as his body and blood now become part of my body and blood, rushing throughout my whole body through my heart beating. I have Jesus in me. You have Jesus in you. How could we let anything get in the way of us being that intimately united with God? Whether it's to be married outside the church, whether it's to not be married but live with somebody, whether it's anger at church teaching, anger at parishioners that insulted us, whatever. Where's the confidence in oneself? Where's the confidence in God himself, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. I will refresh you. Forget about your being crucified by so many. Look at me, crucified. I died, I was buried, and I rose again. That's my confidence that I give you, that you may have my peace and joy." Try to understand this. The reality of God coming in to our whole being, our mind, our heart, our physical heart, our emotional heart, our soul, our body, under the appearance of bread and wine, which are not bread and wine, but only and absolutely his body, blood, soul, and divinity. How could we leave or not receive such a gift? And yet we know in chapter 6, when Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish of this same gospel according to St. John, Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you. He repeats that over and over again until finally the Jews says, this is a hard teaching. It's too much. And John writes, many of those who believed in Jesus up to that point said, this is an impossible teaching. And they left him. Only the few remained. Maybe just the 12, because it says Jesus turned to the 12 and without saying, would you please explain to the people what I'm talking about? No, he said, do you also want to leave me? Is this too hard of a doctrine for you? Is this too hard for you to do, to believe that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have eternal life? Then go your way. I will not be left alone, for the Father is with me always, but I will not change my gift that I offer you, my body, my blood, my soul, my divinity. To use an example, perhaps, a weak one. This past year we saw the Powerball lottery reach up to $1 billion or more. If you knew that you were going to win even half of that $1 billion, if you knew you were going to win, what would you do to win? You'd buy a ticket. And you knew this was a winning ticket. You'd hide it. And when it was announced, the numbers, you have the winning ticket. You say, I want my $1 billion. I want my $5 million. I want my $42 million now. Don't stop me from collecting. Jesus says, my life, which I give to you, is more than $2 billion or $100 billion or $1 billion. Take and eat.